Notice in verse 10, and he says this, and ye, the people of Colossae, and ye are complete in him, Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. And he goes on and he begins to show them how they are complete in Christ. They died with him, they were buried with him, they were circumcised with him. I mean, everything that needed to be done has been done for you believers. Isn't that something? What could I add to my salvation that Jesus Christ hadn't already added? What could I do better than what he's already done for me? He's the only one that God ever said to a man, a human being in flesh, and Jesus Christ was the man Christ Jesus. And I realize he was God in Christ. I realize that. But yet he was a man, and he hungered, he thirsted, and God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, what could I add to that? Nothing. And he says, "You're complete in him." And notice he goes on and he talks about how that God has blotted out the handwriting in verse 14 that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, what was that handwriting of ordinances? It would be the law. You see, the only thing that could possibly condemn me as a human being is God's law. And you take that law that God Almighty, that standard that he gave us, and there's nobody that can live up to that standard. You can't live up to that standard. Why, we can't even, the law says, thou shalt not covet. Which person in here that's never coveted? And be careful. Covetousness, the Bible says, which is idolatry. Covetousness is desiring something more than you desire the Lord. In fact, while we were there and there, he talks about it in over there in verse 5 of chapter 3 of Colossians. He said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness," there it is, "which is" what? "Idolatry." He goes on and he talks about this covetousness. And people, the Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Now, what is covetousness? Well, it has to do with lust and something. Look what he said back in verse, in chapter 5 of Ephesians. "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Well, then somebody that covets is an idolater. In other words, they're desiring something. The Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Didn't say nothing about the money being the root. It's the love of money. I had a preacher tell me one time, said he used that verse down there when I was in Galleons. He said that verse there proves King James is not verbatim inspired. I said, how does that... He said, because you know that there's a lot of... he said, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. He said, you know there's a lot of sin out here that has nothing to do with money. And I said, he didn't say that money was the love of money was the root of all sin. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. Now all evil is sin, but all sin is not evil. I'd prove that. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is what? Why, that ain't evil. You knowing to do good and you just, I just don't believe I'll do it today. That's not evil. Whatsoever's not of faith is what? Sin. Anytime you ever doubted, not evil. Well, anyway, that's another subject. I'm just trying to get you to see something. That's one of the commandments. That's one of the laws that God said, thou shalt not covet. And everybody in this building's guilty. You covet from the day you're born. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. You do that. This law that God gives is the only thing that can condemn me. So what did he do? The blotting out of the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Now here's my text. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moons, or of the Sabbath days. Now, I want to talk to you about the Sabbath days. Now notice these things, the holy day, the new moon, the Sabbath days. Verse 17, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now what's the shadow? Well, there's a time in the future over here that the Lord's coming back to this earth. And he's going to establish his throne, and he's going to sit upon the throne of David, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years. And it's mentioned six times in the book of Revelation. And in this rule here, we call that, and he calls it the kingdom. And in that kingdom, there are things. God gave the law back here to Moses, and there is a law for this kingdom. You know where it's at? Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, it has been written, thou shalt not, but I say unto you, the law of the kingdom is in Matthew 5 through 7. And you read that. And so they're going to have a law over there. And in that law, there are Sabbath days back here. There's going to be Sabbath days over there. And Paul said these Sabbath days are a shadow of this. Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he dies, he's buried, he goes back, sends the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to say about 7, Israel falls, become low in mind, they're down here, and in Acts 9, Jesus appears to the Apostle Paul and saves the Apostle Paul and starts forming a body, and he saves them by his grace. And You that trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are identified in this body, and that body is the body of Christ, and it's like the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day this body's going out, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air. He's coming in the clouds, and there's going to be a 7-year period in here we call the tribulation, and then the second coming of Christ and the set up the kingdom. And folks, that's the way that Bible's laid out in there. The majority of that Bible is about this time period over here. The King Jesus Christ, John the Baptist, shows up back here. What's he preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this day in here, beginning with this, that 7-year period begins when the Antichrist makes a covenant with the nation Israel. He confirms the covenant. Now, there could be time between the calling out of this body and the confirming of that covenant. And the rapture does not signal the beginning of the tribulation. Personally, I believe if the rapture took place today, right now, I believe there will be time go by before the Antichrist confirms the covenant. Maybe months, I don't know. Maybe a year, I don't know. I don't know how long. I just don't believe, boom, the rapture takes place and immediately the Antichrist has control of everything. I think it's man have to have time. But anyway, it doesn't matter. This is the wrath of God over here during that tribulation before this time. Now, what I want to talk to you about, people talk about Sunday being the Lord's Day. You ever heard that? And I know this subject is like some of these other subjects. It just blows people up and they get mad. And I think one reason why they get mad when you preach about Sunday and the Lord's Day is that they've been taught that they can't do nothing on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day, it's the Sabbath. And remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so you can't do nothing. When I was a little boy, you couldn't hardly even go outside and play. Couldn't do nothing. Couldn't go nowhere. And I think whenever they hear somebody preach this, and they see, man, and then they look about all the time, all that fun they missed, and then they get mad. No, just kidding. So we're going to see. Now, how is your calendar laid out? Where is Sunday in your calendar? Huh? First day of the week. What is the Sabbath? The seventh day. And what is the seventh day? Saturday. Right. So the Sabbath is on Saturday by our calendar. Now I know what the people say. They say, well, after the Lord was raised on the first day, so that's our Sabbath. But are you to keep a Sabbath? Turn with me to Romans and look in Romans chapter 14. Now, if you want to keep the Sabbath, that's fine. I have no problem with you keeping the Sabbath. I judge you not keeping the Sabbath. If you feel like it's wrong for you to go out and have a meal on the Sunday, whatsoever's not of faith is sin, then don't do it. I'm not telling you to go out and eat today. If you feel like it's wrong for you to do whatever you want to do on Sunday, then don't do it. But I am telling you, don't turn around and judge me if I don't do like you do. Amen? I'm not going to judge you, so don't judge me. Look in Romans chapter 14. Notice in verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth, verse 5, one day above another. Now tell me something. Does the religious systems right today, do they esteem one day above the rest of the days? Now what day is that? Huh? Sunday. Sun, what? You know what, who in the Bible has to do with the sun? Do you know in the Bible there's Baal's day? Now, if you want to esteem Sunday higher than any other day, go ahead. But I'm not. Now look at it. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord. Now you want to take Sunday and you say, well, I believe that's the day we worship and on, that's fine. You doing that to the Lord? I don't have a problem with that. Now I know what Sunday is. I esteem every day alike. Why? I believe every day is a day of grace. You follow me? I believe you worship God not on Sunday in some building that they call the house of God. You know the only place they call the... Well, anyway. I believe, well, turn with me. Let me go finish reading verse 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doeth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, giveth God thanks. Look, turn, let's try another. Come over to Galatians and look in Galatians chapter 4. So I know that this Sabbath, he said, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. They say, well, the Sunday's the Lord's day, we're to worship on that. Well, look in Galatians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Philippians. Verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage? Well, what bondage is he talking about? Look in verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the what? Law. Do ye not hear the law? Look back with me in verse 3. So we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the law. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. Folks, these people were wanting to get back under the law. They were trying to go back. They got saved. Look what said in chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye Spirit? Ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That has to do with the law. And so he's talking, these people started, they got saved, now they're trying to go back under the law, under the weak and beggarly elements then that was took out of the way. Verse 9 again. But now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage under the law? Well, how do you know that, Paul? Ye observe what? Days, months, and times, and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. These people were having holy days and feast days, and they were going about and talking about the Sabbaths and everything, just like Colossians was. We're talking about worshiping on the Lord's Day. Hey, heard one another? Worship on the Lord's Day. Well, what day is the Lord's Day? We're going to look at that in a moment. Folks, it's not Sunday. Sunday's just another day of grace. The law, well, you say, well, God worked 6 days and He rested on the Sabbath. Yes, that's right. And He hallowed it and He sanctified it. And He put it under the law, the children of Israel, to do the same thing. And there was a man in Numbers 16, he went out and gathered up sticks on the Sabbath day, and God had him stoned, and he died because of it. You couldn't travel but about 1/6 of a mile on the Sabbath day. You had to prepare your meals on Friday and for 2 days so that you stay in your house. You didn't get out and go up to the tabernacle and worship. You stayed in your tent and you eat what your wife had fixed on Friday. You eat it all day on Saturday too. You didn't go nowhere. You didn't do nothing. Well, you ain't like that today. God is not holding up one day higher than He's holding up another day. Every day's alike. It's a day of grace. Personally, I think we ought to work 5 days and have 2 days of rest. Well, if you really want to get down to what I really feel like, 4 days would be all right with me. How's gas getting? I ought to just work 10 hours a day, and forget it. 40 hours a week. They wanted to really help. They'd pass a law. You couldn't work over 40 hours a week. I'd vote for that, wouldn't you? But I'm just trying to make a point here. We're in the dispensation of grace. We're in the day of salvation. Every day. Could you get saved? Would you have to wait till the Sabbath to get saved? Look what he said in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. He said in verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the what? Spirit. and rejoice in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in the flesh. Folks, I don't need a building to worship the Lord in. I worship the Lord in my spirit. I worship the Lord in my inner man. I worship the Lord every day I live. Every day is a day of worship. Every day is a day of grace. No Sabbaths. We're not trying to advance the kingdom. Now let's look at this thing about the Lord's Day. Where did they get that? Turn with me to Revelation and look in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. Now, like I was saying, if you want to make Sunday a special day, that's fine. I don't have no problem with that. But don't judge me if I don't. I believe we choose to come up here on Sunday because it's the most convenient day of the week for all of us to get together and come. Amen. All the other days, it's not convenient for us to come. And the God of this world has made this day His day. And made it convenient for us, so we just say, well, that's the day that is the most convenient because of the religious systems of the world. And we meet up here on Sunday. Come up here and fellowship and study God's Word and learn God's Word. And that's why we meet on Sunday. If Wednesday was the most convenient day for us, the grace believers here, and it was the most convenient day for everybody to come up here, then I would say let's meet up here on Wednesday. Why? It's a day of grace any day. Before we read that, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. And I apologize for that, but I feel like I... You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 1 he says, "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." And that word succor there is given aid to. God is given aid. He said, in other words, you could say, in the day of salvation, I'm given aid. I'm helping. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This time period in here is the day of salvation. And it's also the accepted time. Any day is the day of salvation. Any day is the accepted time for anybody, anywhere, to trust Christ as their Lord and Savior and be saved by God's grace, and God gives them aid to come to that. And so He allowed things, and so we meet up here, and we meet up here on Sunday because it's the most convenient time for sinners and for people that are saved, His people, to come together, and they sinners can come and hear the gospel, and God can give them aid, and they can be saved in the day of salvation. Look in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Notice in verse 9. Revelation 1, 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now watch it. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I got a book home by a man that tries to prove that that day that John was in the Spirit, that the Lord's day is Sunday. And he's having a spiritual time on Sunday. In other words, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Some spiritual thing on Sunday. Well, that's not what John's talking about. Turn to Revelation 4, chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show thee the things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne. John is down here in the Isle of Patmos. He has somebody talking to him. And immediately he is transferred up there, and there's a throne. It ain't that he just saw something. He was in the Spirit and he was carried up there. He was carried up there to where God is. Turn with me and look with me to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. In Revelation chapter 17, notice in verse 3. So he carried me away in the Spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blaspheme, having seven heads and 10 horns. He's down here, and he's transferred, he's transported over here. Way out there. Although we're talking 2,000 years into the future. He was took up to the heavens, up to the throne. Then in Revelation 17, he's took over here into the future some 2,000 years ago in the Spirit. Look in chapter 21. In chapter 21, notice in verse 10. Let's read verse 9. And there came unto me one of seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I've often wondered, how can you be a bride and be the body too? When the body's referred to as one new man, and a bride is feminine. And look what he says, sees. You want to know who the bride is? Verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit into a great high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Then the bride's the new Jerusalem. Now, you know where that's at? John's down here, and all of a sudden he's took all the way past the kingdom, 1,000-year reign, all the way out here and sees that city coming down. That's, you know where that's at? That's in eternity. I mean, 2,000 years ago, the Spirit carried him somewhere way out there to eternity, and he saw the new city. So when John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he writes down from 16 to 19, you know what he's writing? That day of wrath and that day of glory. It's not Sunday. It's that day in the future. In fact, turn with me, look in Ezekiel. This is nothing new. Look back in Ezekiel. People been transported by the Spirit all along. Ezekiel chapter 1. We'll start there. Ezekiel 1. Now it came to pass, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, and in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. And he's going to see some things. Now turn with me to chapter 8. Look in Ezekiel chapter 8. See what he's, some of the things, how he sees them. Look in verse 3. And he put forth the form of a hand. Talking about this man. That's the thing, his parents love fire and loins even down, fire upon. I mean, he's standing there, brightness. Verse 2. And he put forth the form of a hand, took me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate, toward the north. There was the seed of the image of jealousy, which provoked to jealousy. Now he's in Iraq over there in Babylon. He's carried in Babylon. And all of a sudden, he's took 1,500 miles by the hair of his head. I mean, he just reaches down and grabs him up. And there he is. And he's took over there. And he sees Jerusalem. Now, I don't want to get in that kind of a spirit, do you? That sounds terrible. I ain't got much to grab a hold of. And it scared me to death anyway. People talking about, these guys talking about going down the road, he's doing the interstate, and Michael sits all of a sudden appears beside of him in the front seat. Now, I've got to be honest with you, folks. If I'm traveling 70, 75 miles an hour down the road, and all of a sudden there's something poofing, a man sitting beside me in the seat all of a sudden, we're goners. I'm wrecking. No doubt about it. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and there's a 7-9 foot Michael standing there with a sword drawn. Well, the Lord knows he might as well just take me on out of here, because that's going to do it. People's crazy, you know that. All the revelation that you need, God Almighty wrote it and put it in a book. There is no extra biblical revelation that these guys are talking about having. They're just a bunch of con artists. They want to control you. That's why people want you under the bondage, so they can control you. Well, Jesus Christ wants you free. Now, I don't believe in just, I believe in being faithful, and I believe in coming to the assembly, and I believe that principle over there in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. And I believe that that ought to, if you're saved, you've got a desire to come up here and study and pray. And I realize people work. I realize there's vacation. I'm not, you never hear me say nothing about that. But I don't want people to feel like they got to come or God's going to zap them in the head either. That's between you and the Lord. If He's happy with it, fine. Look with me to chapter 11 of Ezekiel. Chapter 11. Notice in verse 24, and afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God. The Spirit took him up. He not only gets took up, Ezekiel does, in the Spirit, but he gets took up geographically. Well, what about this day of the Lord? Turn back to Isaiah. Just go back to your left, Isaiah chapter 2. You want to see something about the day of the Lord that John saw? Verse 11. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. The lofty looks of man shall be humble. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Verse 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. You know what the day of the Lord is? That's the day when Jesus Christ gets all the honor and Him alone gets it. Now we do that all the time. Mother's Day, who gets the honor that day? Father's Day, we set a day aside, the fathers get the honor for that day. Right? You bring gifts. You give gifts. You call them. You tell them you love them. You appreciate them. On that day, their day. Well, the Lord's day is the when the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. It's when the ones is haughty and got full of pride and they rebel. It's when He judges and pours His wrath out on those that are against Him, and He gets the glory. That's His day. Look in chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13. In Isaiah chapter 13, notice in verse 6. How ye... For the day of the Lord is at hand, and it shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. And they shall be afraid, pains and sorrows shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman in travail, and they shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He shall destroy the sinners out of it. That's His day. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now Paul said, let no man judge you in respect of a holy day or of the Sabbath, bring judgment upon you. You don't worry about what man says, you worry about what this book says. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And you got to go back. He's talking about there in verse 18 of chapter 4, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And the words that he's talking about is the rapture. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. That's when we go up here. Verse 1 of chapter 5, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I read it to you in Isaiah, right? For when they shall say, When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. You see what he says? You see how he's doing it? They is over here. Here, the day of the Lord begins with him pouring his wrath out. And it goes all the way over here in the kingdom when he gets his day. A thousand years with the Lord is a day, and a day is as if a thousand years. He's going to pour His wrath out. They. Now look how He does this thing. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction cometh upon them. Verse 4. But ye, we're back over here. Ye that are here. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day over here should take you as a thief. For ye are the children of light, the children of the what? Day. This is nighttime. Day, night. The tribulation, the wrath is a time of nighttime. For ye are the children of light and of the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for hope, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the day of salvation. We have this. We're of the day. Daytime. Light. The gospel shining. We're in the day. We're not in the night. We're not getting the wrath. God has not appointed us unto wrath. So, of the times and seasons, it ain't no need me telling you all of this stuff. You know I've told you all this. Why? We're not of that time period. I don't want to be in the day of the Lord. You read Zephaniah, you read Obadiah, you read them little books with one chapters in them, and they're full about the day of the Lord. And this time of gloominess, a time of darkness, a time of destruction. It's a time of fierce pain. It's a time when they're crawling in the rocks and in caves and crying for the rocks to fall upon them. It's a time when in pain and agony and God just unleashing His wrath upon them. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for His Son that bore that wrath in my stead. And I can say I'm saved by His grace, and I have the hope of salvation to be delivered from this present evil world someday. That's my hope. Shake hands with one another and you can go.